Jeff and I just returned from what I call paradise. It wasn't easy to turn that car back into the direction of Louisiana to come home. Every opportunity that we have, we love to visit, of course, first the beach, but especially Fort Pickens, which is a part of our national park system, the Gulf Islands National Seashore. How many of you have been to Fort Pickens, to that part? A few, just a few, okay. Jeff and I have a tradition. We always take a picnic lunch, and we spend the afternoon and evening under the shade of the pavilion until I can go out into the sunshine when the sun is setting and swim in the ocean and watch the beautiful sunset. It's different every day. The colors, the formations, it's awesome. On this particular trip, one of the reasons we love to go to Fort Pickens, there are miles and miles with no buildings. It's totally nature. And we always see a lot of wildlife. So Jeff encountered a large stingray swimming by. We saw this beautiful school of fish in the water. It was silvery with a black circle. Some of you fishermen might know what that fish is. I had never seen it before, but just hundreds of them. Of course, pelicans and crabs and sandpipers and seagulls, osprey. The osprey population is really growing over there. Every year that we go, we see more osprey and see more nests. My absolute favorite are dolphins. We always bring the binoculars so that we can get a good look at those beautiful dolphins. And they really put a show on for us this year. They were jumping high in the out of the water into the sky. They were slapping the water with their tails, fishing. They fish in groups. Some of them herd the fish this way. We watched them. Some were coming this way. Some were coming that way. And they worked together to get their daily fish taken care of, their daily fish quota taken care of. It was beautiful. The only creatures we did not encounter, thank goodness, were sharks. We were looking for them and hoping they did not show up, and they stayed away. So we had a great, great, safe swimming experience. I love watching the pelicans dive bomb in the morning for breakfast. Early in the morning, they just go high and they look for the fish and they target it, and there they go and come up with their breakfast. The food chain, the circle of life, the health and the connection of all these ocean creatures depend on each other. God designed the world this way to provide sustenance for all of God's creatures. We are the only ones, human beings, that have to cultivate and grow our own food by tilling the earth and harvesting the crops in due time. Nature provides the food that the earth needs by the hand of God. I cannot endure the midday heat on those sand dunes. I can't even endure it for a few hours in the middle of the day. Can you imagine what the Hebrew people were going through out in the wilderness, in the middle of nowhere, with no picnic food, the hot sun all day long, very little water available, and no pavilion to shade them? They had come from civilization, the civilization of Egypt. They were used to a lush life by the Nile River, where crops were plentiful and life was organized. They had readily agreed to come with Moses and Aaron to escape the oppression and suffering of slavery. But now, they were saying, they were in worse shape than they were when they were in Egypt. They were outside all day. It was miserable. There were no fish close by. There was no French bread hot out of the oven. No po'boys, no red beans and rice. There was nothing. that they could see in their near future that was going to satisfy their hunger. So what did they do? I think they did what most of us do. At least I know it's what I do. When I start getting hungry, I have a name for it. I get crabby. We start complaining. My stomach hurts. My head hurts. I need some food. We get ornery. This is what happened to the Hebrew people. They began to complain and whine to Moses, and they began to blame Moses for their situation. They began to think of the worst case scenario. Moses, you brought us out here and we're going to die of starvation. We were better off in Egypt. They began to look back, not forward into their promised future of a better life, but they began to imagine that their life back in Egypt was great compared to this empty stomach business. Never mind they were slaves. Never mind their children were being assassinated by Pharaoh. Never mind they were beaten down and suffering and had no future at all. All of a sudden, things looked rosy back in Egypt. Julie Atkins, in her sermon on this text, has a name for this syndrome. She says they had a rose-colored rear-view mirror. Life was good only in the past. Sometimes when we're in the midst of our suffering, it's hard to see a way forward. We long for the good old days when things were better for us. Before Katrina, before cancer, before the empty nest when all the kids disappeared, before the accident, before the knees went bad, way back when life was great and all was perfect. Maybe we've borrowed that rose-colored rearview mirror at times. Of course, there are highlights in our life, cherished memories, our wedding day, the birth of our children, a graduation, a promotion, a dream job secured, a retirement celebration, other highlights of life. Every life has high points and valleys. When we get stuck in our suffering and can only see the bad before us, the difficult, the anguish, that's when we're tempted to look back and long for paradise past. Julie shared the story of a former church member who had to move periodically because of her husband's job changes. And when she moved to San Antonio, she was always telling everyone how much better life had been for them in California. She missed the people there. She missed the city. She missed the lifestyle. She hoped they might go back there one day and retire, possibly. And a few years went by, and her husband moved again because of his job, and she would write back to the congregation, "Oh, I miss my life in San Antonio. I miss all the people. I miss the city. We were so happy there. Maybe one day we can come back to San Antonio and retire. Then I'll be happy," she would write. She spent so much time looking back that she couldn't enjoy her life in the present. Sometimes we do long for the familiar, the comfortable, the places and people that we know. We prefer that security. But other times we can miss out on the adventure that is before us, the blessings, the opportunities that arise right in front of us. It amazes me sometimes at the beach. Well, I'll just be ecstatic watching the dolphins, and other people right beside us don't even know they exist. They're not looking out. They're not enjoying the beauty of the nature before them. They're just oblivious to what is. Sometimes we're afraid to risk a change. Maybe we want to go back to school, but we're afraid maybe we can't cut it. Maybe we've been thinking about applying for a different job because we hate the job we have, but we're afraid to take that chance. Sometimes we can't move forward because we're stuck looking backwards. And not only that, but idealizing the past in a way that truly is not an accurate picture. God had wonderful plans in store for the Hebrew people, but they couldn't see them yet. They had to go through sacrifice and difficult days in the wilderness before they could settle into the hope-filled land of promise. God didn't promise them that the journey through the wilderness would be easy, smooth, a non-stop short flight with no turbulence. God never promised them that. But God did promise that He would guide them on the journey, that He would lead them and provide for their needs and be present with them to confront all of the obstacles that they had to face day by day. If they trusted in God, God would help them find a way through the wilderness and to a land filled with goodness and toward a better life. Poor Moses, he took on this responsibility that God asked him to do, and then he had to hear all these people complaining and knocking on his door, blaming him for the suffering. Moses informed the people, "You're not really complaining against me. You're complaining against God. This was God's plan for your future. You agreed to come along, and now all of a sudden, we get tempted to blame God when things don't turn out the way we expect. We want sugar plums and cotton candy and chocolate, and God says, eat your spinach. That's what you need. That's what you need. It may be not what you want, but that's what you need. God will provide our needs to give us strength for the journey." I love this verse when God says to Moses, "I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you. And each day the people can gather just enough for what they need. Give us, Lord, this day our daily bread." This image of rain in the wilderness, in most wilderness settings, there's not much rain. I mean, they might even get an inch for a year. So to think about rain falling in the desert, what a beautiful picture. But secondly, to think about bread falling from heaven like rain is implying that God has so much, such an abundance to provide and give to God's people. God is lavishing bread from heaven like God lavishes love from heaven for us. And we can only receive what God has to give us one day at a time. "God, give me the grace that is sufficient for the battles I must face in my life today. And help me, O God, to see your will and have the courage and the strength to take action to bring it to pass." The Hebrew people were not trusting in God to provide for them, to love them, and to nurture them. Had they forgotten so quickly how God had just delivered them from slavery, from their children being killed, from the Egyptian army pursuing them, the most powerful army in the world at that time, and they had no weapons, and God delivered them safely out of the Egyptian army's hand? Had they forgotten that already? The great I Am had accomplished these things on their behalf. God had told Moses at the beginning, remember all the way back to the burning bush, One day my people are going to come and worship me at the Mount Sinai in the wilderness. And the day had come. Wow. God did not go to all that trouble to let these people die in the wilderness with no future. God wants us and wanted them to reach our God-given potential. And God will help us to get there. Even though we may have to face obstacles along the way. God provided quail and manna to sustain people who had very little trust in Him. Even though He had brought them a mighty long way. Falling like rain was God's blessing for the people, one day at a time. What blessing is God sending into your life today? Don't look backwards. Look upwards. Keep moving forward on your journey, knowing that God goes with you, God loves you, and God will provide all the help you need along the way. Amen.